Jenna, I have just notes, and but I've got this thought that I feel like the Lord gave me, and I want to preach it just the way I feel like the Lord laid it on me. In the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4, very familiar text here. And I know today's a busy day. We've got a baby dedication after the end of the service. But let's give place to the Word of God. And you found your place, say amen. Amen. Verse number 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Amen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. It's a very familiar scripture here. Everybody here that reads the Word of God is very familiar with the setting of these scriptures. And everybody knows that he passed on a little further. And he found two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. This is verse 21. And he called them and immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Man, I just feel like I've got a lot of preaching to do in a short period of time. And the Bible said, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I don't know if you can pick this up or not, but these two words here, straightway and immediately, are like Siamese twins. Straightway and immediately. And the word straightway simply means at once, without delay. Immediately means right now. And if the Lord will help me, and I want to preach this morning what I feel that God has given me, I want to preach on caught in the net. Caught in the net. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us? Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your mercy. Help us, I pray, right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is without doubt the beginning of Jesus' ministry as he begins to go through the coast and he begins to call unto men to become the disciples of Christ. And I want to preach here in just a minute, but I want to lay out a little foundation here, that there is something moving that we need to take notice to in the Word of God. Just coming out of revival and coming into a service and like this here, it's almost disheartening for a preacher when you see so melancholy faces. And we just come out of a great move of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And but I want to just talk to you while you change your face and open up your heart, if that's the best way to put it. And one man said, that's sarcastic, maybe, but it's the truth, because we are abusers of blessings. We are abusers of blessings. He blesses us and then we sour on Him. He blesses us and then we quiet down on Him. Oh, great God, how much the more should we be able to rise to the occasion and say, God, help me to become a man or a woman of God that's willing to worship and willing to give unto God. I want to talk to you just a minute. I know everybody here got family sick at some point and some connected to the hospital. I walked in my office this morning. I said, God, help me. I said, I've got 6 hours of sleep under 48 hours. I said, I need your strength this morning. I want to talk to you just a minute, the Lord, to help me on being caught in the net. You know, we've got a generation that's caught up in everything but the right thing. We're so captivated by everything except for the profitable thing. We're captivated by the voices of the enemy when they speak unto us and cause us to want to challenge us to go after the way of the world and go after the things of this life until we put the premium on the things of the flesh and not of the Spirit. Amen. Oh, I feel the Lord in my soul already. We got a generation who's got a checklist of heaven, who's got a problem, and they need God to answer. They need God to move, but they forget the requirement. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. I want to tell you, escaping the net of life is the highest praise a man can give. That I come out of sin, I come out of bondage, I come out of the yoke of the devil. Yep. Amen. I don't want to lose it all right here, but I feel something in my soul. I can see Jesus as He is going through the coast. And He's a walking up and down. And He's a calling unto men. I want you to take the notice here. Before He calls anybody, these are the first scriptures of the recollection of the fact that He sees Peter and Andrew. And He calls unto them. What were they doing? They were casting nets into the water. They were trying to make a living. I want to preach, it's going to make you mad. I know it, but I want to talk to you. I want to tell you, when your living gets above the calling, when your living gets above your dedication, you come on, don't do a Bible study while I'm trying to preach. I want to tell you that we've got a generation that's got their priorities out of order. It's God first and second. It's God first. And if we get it back in that order, that's when miracles, that's when the visitation of the Holy Ghost is going to get inside of our lives. As strange as it may be, He calls them from their present occupation. He begins to deal with them. Don't you preachers jump ship in your heart before I get a chance to preach to you. Oh, come on here now. You hear, I know where I'm at.
and I know exactly what I feel in my soul. Man, when I was a younger preacher and on the embarking of a first call to preach, every time I heard somebody preach, oh, you need to step out and get a hold of it. You need to set out to the ministry. Man, the first thing I wanted to do was quit my job and go out somewhere and preach. Oh, but you listen to me. I want you to understand something. The call begins a lot longer before the jumping of a ship. Are you hearing me in this house? I want you to understand something. Our commission is that we are to go into all the world and make disciples of every creature. I want to ask a question here. I may not get a lot of help, but I feel a lot of help to preach it. How many souls have you won to God? How many lives have you influenced? Or are you still caught up in your net? Are you still caught up in your world?
We're wrapped up in what we want. We're wrapped up in the life that appeases. Never has there been a more reasonable sense of judgment, of men's judgment, when it comes to the infinite judgment of God. We tell our generation, your job is more important than anything else. So therefore we got a generation who works like a plow horse, but they're dead spiritually. Come on here now. I mean, they spend hours and days on end. They'll rise before the sun comes up. Oh, come on here. I laid down Friday night or Saturday morning about 3 o'clock or 10 after. And I laid there till 4:07. I dozed off to sleep. And when I dozed off to sleep, the Holy Ghost woke me up at 6:05 and said, get up. I got up and got ready. I came to the house of God. I ran after midnight last night. Had to run back to the hospital. Walked back in my house at 5:00 this morning. And I felt something stirring inside of my soul. And the Holy Ghost said, are you going to get caught up in the net? Are you going to get caught up in breaking free at the net? You know why we can't have it? And you know why we're out of peace? It's we're caught up in the net of our world. Oh, I know you can't hear me. I can't hear it. We're so captivated and caught up in what we want, in what we like, until it doesn't matter what God's trying to call us to. Oh yeah, I know where I'm at. We want to see God do great things. And we want to see a generation. Is Jonathan in here? Come here. We want to see a generation arise out of the ash pile and see him take a hold of the reins of the gospel of Jesus. I want you to hear me. When this world, are you hearing me in this house? You boys stand right here by me. Are you hearing me? When this world was in need of a Savior, did God in heaven, he sent them the begotten Son of God. But can I preach to you? When this world was in need of preachers, he began to call 12 men. You know the reason your children are in chaos and your life is messed up. You have no submission to the ministry. You have no submission unto the things of God. Oh, come on here now. I'll tell you the transition. It came from a Savior into the mouth of the preacher. And out of the mouth of the preacher, it went into the house. And there's where we get our preachers. There's where we get our prophets. That's where we get our teachers. The heaven mamas and daddies and know-how.
to escape the entangling of the net.
I'd like for the Holy Ghost to touch these children, move on them. But it's going to have to take a daddy getting away from a net. Come on here. You may not like what I'm about to preach. And a human in the world spoke to my heart. But God Himself, you're fighting frantically, trying to keep your children away from the world and trying to bar television. And I'm telling you right now, you go tell the devil and all of his sins, make it all hair lip. It doesn't bother me up in the world. Ain't no business a saved man, especially if he claims the baptism of the Holy Ghost, can even sit and watch the devil. Are you hearing me in this house? I'm telling somebody in this building, if you want it, you must escape the entrapment of a net. You must come out of it. You must come away from it. You must pull yourself in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Don't do it, they're going to be healthy.
Some years ago, I was preaching a homecoming in Columbus, Ohio. And while I was there preaching, there was a man, I'm not going to call his name. He sat in the back, Brother Carl, and he was louder than anybody in the house. I mean, his voice. You remember that, baby? His voice was booming above everybody else's voice. Hey, everything I preached, it didn't matter how much sin I hit, it was amen. It was amen. It was louder than anybody. But Brother Billy, when I hit television, I caught him in the middle of his amen. Anyway, come on here. He quieted down. He didn't say nothing at all. The rest of the meeting, you know why? I got to point at his neck. I got to say, I got to point out what had a hold of him. What was dictating his life? What was operating him? Oh, you ain't hearing me. I felt you throw that back. But you didn't just throw it back. It's going to come home. Oh, God, shit. One night, during the meeting, I felt the Holy Ghost. I didn't know I was going to bring this out. I felt the Holy Ghost get on me and speak to me. I didn't say nothing. I kept it in my heart. Wednesday morning, when I walked in this building, chapel service was going on. Power of God was moving. I looked over there. It's going to get tough right here. I looked over there and I saw Jonathan. And I saw tears rolling down his face. And the Holy Ghost came to me and he said, I have put my hand on him. Amen. Come on here. I mean, you listen to me in this house. You hear me? That's wonderful. I don't know of anything better. How would the Holy Ghost help me preach? Come on here. Mama, stand to your feet right quickly. She told me one day, she said, you don't know how much it blesses me. Come on now. She said, you don't know what it does to me to know that God chose in my lineage, in my children, to call a preacher of the gospel. Are you hearing me in this house?
But you listen to me in this building. Being called is one thing, but being escaped in the net is another. Thank God unto the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, you may have the biggest price tag of the calling on your life, but if you've got a net, you are a bound soul. You are a bound up life. There must be an escape. There must be a coming out. There must be a straightway. There must be an immediate get up and make a move to Christ.
I watch as the Holy Ghost begin to deal with me and unfold this in my mind. I begin to pray about it. And I said, God, I want you to hear me. I said, God, we need help. I wish all of my mothers were in here. But they're not. And I'm going to tell you something. Even in the birthing of a new baby, go tell everybody I said it. You get caught up in that net until you lose your eternal soul. Are you hearing me? Come on now. Grow up and get mad. There's something wrong, sir, when your wife has to be 20 minutes late for every service. Come on here. There's something the matter when the entire family's late all because of a new baby. I said, thank God. He said, preacher, you're too hard. Not at all. I'm trying to raise a baby to let them know, stay out of the net. Don't get caught up in it. When you get caught in it, it's going to entangle you. It's going to entrap your family. It starts small. Did you hear me? I said it starts small. It's a small involvement. And then before you know it, you're so caught up in it, you can't break the shell. You can't come out of it. You can't break loose of it. Get out of the net. I said get out of the net and make an escape for freedom. I was praying, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. Many of men have sat on the sideline, mending their nets, caught up in their world, captivated by their occupation, induced into stupefying their emotions until they are unprickable by the leadership of preaching, by the guidance of counsel. Oh, you ain't hearing me. I got a problem when you got quiet babies and you got walking mamas. I got a big problem with that. Come on now. Say amen anyhow. Don't tell me you're Johnny on the spot changing that diaper. You'll sit there at the house back there on that chair and do nothing and let it sit for hours. But come to the house of God, you want to jump on everything. It's not that. It's your net calling you. I said it's your net. It's pulling on you. It's got a hold of your heart. It's got a hold of your life. We're preoccupied. I'm going to tell you, if I never preach another sermon, if I never say nothing else, I'm here to tell somebody, you better get out of the catching of the net and make yourself free in the name of Jesus. The Bible said, as Jesus was passing by the Sea of Galilee. I want you boys to help me. He saw two men casting a net into the sea. And as they began
Cast that net. He looked at him. He said, Peter! Andrew! Come! Follow me! And I'll make you fishers of men. Thank God. You know what? Some of you won't let loose of your world because you're afraid the paycheck of heaven won't be near as big as what you can make spinning your own world. Come on, sir. I'll give it to Jesus. You just go back to mending. I'll give it to Jesus. But as long as he don't demand for me to let go of the net. I was praying. Don't you stare in this little fat face of mine. I was praying this morning. Five something this morning asking God to help me. Something like before three. Going down that Radium Springs Road heading back to the hospital. Are you hearing me? My radio was on. Music was playing. I cut it off. I began to weep and I said, God, there has got to be a freedom. There has got to be a setting free. And you know what the Holy Ghost let me know? You know the only reason some of our backsliders are called titled backsliders today is because this is what God showed me. I mean, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But you hear me? When I call y'all's name, Peter and Andrew, I don't want you to get up. All I want you to do is just glance and go back to work. Are you hearing me? I want to ask a question. How many services have you set in and the Holy Ghost convict your heart and the power of God deal with your life and say you need to move up a little higher. You need to change a few things. And you hear him as he says, Peter! Andrew! And you look up and you notice, hey, that's what he's saying. But then we go right back into our own world. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost in my eternal soul. You need to break free of that neck that's got your mind, that's got your emotions, that's got your world in bondage. I believe you, Jesus. But right now, I'm making more money than I am out there trying to win souls. I'm going to tighten it down a little further for you. I know you ain't going to shout to it, but it's all right. I'm making more money than I am attending Sunday school. I'm making more money than I am attending prayer meetings. I know some of you women ain't going to shout to this. I don't have no... One man asked, is she going to sugarcoat it? I told him, I said, you can look me over. I ain't got a bag of sugar on me. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, shout what you may. Say what you may. But there's something wrong, ma'am, if you work a job and your husband's on time for church and you ain't. There's something wrong, sir, when you work a job and your family is more dedicated to God than you are. Come on here. I'm slowly feeling some of y'all pull your feet in. It's all right. It's a proven fact. And I'm going to say it. I don't care if everybody in the building hates me for it. It's a proven fact. I've saw it this week. I've saw it weeks before. I've saw it a million times if I saw it one time. You can get on everybody else's family. But when you get on my family, you better get off my family. Are you hearing me in this house? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. Come on, boy. Stand up and pick up that net. I'll tell you what it is. Get it up high enough where I can get in it. I mean, thank God, I'm wrapped up inside this thing. I don't know how to get out of it. I'm here to tell you in this building, I want you to stay tight. Are you hearing me? Caught up in that thing. You may look like you're ready to fish, but you can't catch no fish. You may look like you're ready to do something, but you can't do it. You ain't free. You gotta break loose from it. You gotta come out of it. You gotta declare that by the help of the Lord, I plan to stay free. I plan to get out of it. I don't want to set the rest of my life inside of an occupation with no God. I don't want to live in a marriage where it's constant fighting and constant struggle. I must have a neck-breaking experience. Get God Almighty. I must have a move of the Holy Ghost that gets me out of it.
Caught. Straightway. And the Bible said, and straightway they let their nets grab your net. When they heard Jesus, lost the button, didn't I, baby? When they heard Jesus, said, Peter, Andrew, and the Bible said, and straightway, at once, they left their net. I want to ask a question. When's the last time you moved that quick when he told you to do something? Don't everybody shout. Don't everybody run. It's a bad day, sir, to claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it takes four or five promptings of the Spirit to get you to drop your net and get you willing to obey God. I was sitting last night in a restaurant after we left the hospital, my wife and I and Brother Wayne. And I was sitting there, and while I was sitting there, I saw a boy and girl sitting over to my right. Whether they come or not, I don't know. But I know when I feel the Holy Ghost deal with me. God spoke to me. He said, go talk to them. I'm telling you right now, when I heard the Holy Ghost say, go talk to them, I got up out of my chair. You say, you're bragging. Oh, no, not at all. I got up out of my chair. I walked over there where that Mexican boy and that white girl was sitting. I began to talk to him. I didn't know if he would be mean. He had scars all over his face. I didn't know what he had told the preacher, go fly a boat. I mean, go fly a kite and take a boat, a slow one to China. I don't know what he had said. But I will tell you this. He looked at me, and I felt something break the atmosphere. And I said, how you doing? I said, I'm Noah Phillips. I pastor here in Albany. I said, do you live here? And they said, no, we live in America. And we began to talk, and I'm not going into it. I'm not going into it. I said, are y'all married? They said, no. I said, we got a baby. I said, how old's your baby? I said, 2 weeks. I began to talk to him about God, and I began to talk to him about church. Mm. And, can I say what I need to say without you taking it wrong? I felt the Holy Ghost deal with my heart, and I'm not nothing, and God knows it. But I felt like God let me know that the mission work that we are embarking upon in Dominican Republic ain't a holiness group that I know in the independent holiness that's involved over there in that part of the country. God has left the field wide open. Are you hearing me? Oh yeah, these charismatics and those that broke off from us and went over there and started works, but there ain't a hole in this church over there. Come on here now.
You listen to me in this building. I'll never forget it. I felt the Lord as I sat there before I went over there. He said, move. He said, because I'm going to raise up a man that's going to walk with you. And it's going to be with you. Come on, I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell nobody that was with me. I felt the Lord said, I'm going to save you one. And I'm going to put him in your church. Are you hearing me in this house? I want you to listen to this little fat preacher. What are you trying to say? I'm telling you, your opportunity is coming in and it's going out. It's coming in and it's going out. And I'm worried about how many more times you're going to let your neck keep you from turning loose and allowing God to change in the mold and to shape your life.
I'm hurrying to a close. I need Brother Stanley. I need Brother Phillips. I want y'all boys to come up here. Grab each one of this net. One on one side and one on the other. The tragedy. I want you to hear me closely. There is a call and there is a commission. There is a pulling and there is a beckoning. The question is, who will answer and who will stand up and become a straightway or immediately person? Come on now. You want the tragedy of what was with Zebedee? And I know my daddy won't get offended at me. Some of you others may. But if he does, it's going to be a surprise to me, but I'm going to keep preaching it anyway. But you know what the tragedy with Zebedee was? Before Jesus came, that's all he ever knew. And that's where you're at. You've never turned loose to accept the new plan. Y'all feel that bounce back? That's where you're at. Zebedee could not see the cross. He couldn't see Christ. He couldn't see the miracles. He couldn't feel the compassion. He couldn't even hear the call because all he could hear was waves and all he could see was nets and fishes. I know you're going to leave me little by little, and I'm hurrying to a close. What are you looking at? Zebedee, I want you to notice something. About that time when Jesus walked up and he saw two more, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he said to them, come! And the Bible said, and immediately they left it. But you know what happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. It was enough that he was so preoccupied, Zebedee was, until these Zebedees were able to look and say, oh, that's good. You boys go ahead. Daddy's got things he needs to do. Say what you want to. Roll your lip out, Daddy. Get mad at me. You ain't much of a father when you can let your children load up and go to church and you load up and go to your net. Matter of me, if you just stand there and stick your tongue out at me, it ain't going to bother me a bit in the world. It's going to make me preach just a little harder. Is it good enough? Huh? For James and John, but it's not good enough for you, Zebedee? You know what happened to him? He looked up long enough to see, but not enough to bark. Not even enough to fight Jesus. Don't you catch this? That's where some of you daddies are at. You'll let your children go to revival. You'll let them go to prayer meeting. You'll let somebody else come pick them up and take them, but you don't go pray. But you want to be the man that's always out there and say, hey, now I've been doing this for years. I know how this is to be done. I know what this is to do. You want to come on here now? Come on now. Walk this way. Come on, give me a little room here. You know what we're doing? I want you to put your hand right here. We'll get free here in a minute. I'm going to put one hand here and one on here. I want you to start walking back that way. I want you to walk enough to where you can pull this thing pretty tight. And then you just loosen a little bit, but stay a hold of the handrail. Look now, I know how this is ought to go. I know this is what we need to do. But I can't let go of this. I know this works. And you know why there's some of you repeating battles after battles after battles, and it's the same thing on your prayer list, and you never can get past it, you never can get over it, because you don't know how to drop a net and let go of the handrail. I want you to notice something. He took their world out of their hands, and He put His world in their hands. And how in the world are you expecting God to save your children when it's not good enough to get you out of your net? I'm slowly losing you. You know why? Because it's easy to shout over the command. It's easy to say, call James and John. But the problem is, how come Zebedee don't want to come? How come Zebedee don't have a straight way? How come Zebedee don't have an immediate? I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet nor the son of one. Come to the piano, sister, maybe to give them a little hope. Come on here. But I just feel like this morning, I felt like this morning it was like a vision turned on in my head. I could see them men setting up and looking and going right back to the world. Here's where the rubber's going to meet the road. What's your net? What is your net? What's the name of your net? What's the thing that holds you, preoccupies you? I touch men's world. It used to be the workforce wasn't a woman's world. We got men that ain't worth the salt that goes in their bread. I'm borrowing some old timers saying. I remember when I was a boy, I hated working in the garden. My daddy, he always scolded us. He said, when I come in, you better have them weeds pulled out of them beans. And Brother Carl, I played around. I'd go down to the neighbor's house. I'd get caught up in something else. Daddy, you'll never forget it. You may have forgotten, but I'll never forget it. Let me just say it that way. I'll never forget one day I came in. He'd already come home early. And he was out there sweating. And I saw him out there in that bean field picking them weeds out of them beans. You know what I wanted to do? I tell you what I did. I jumped out there. And I went to going at it with him. But his aggravation, he couldn't handle me in his presence. He told me, he said, you get out of this garden. And as I turned to walk away, he told me, he said, boy, if you don't straighten up, he said, you ain't going to be worth the salt that goes in your bread. I want to tell the church world, if we don't straighten up, we ain't going to be worth the salt that goes in our bread. Some of you guys, y'all get frustrated and mad because when we have work day, I push for us to work like a horse and you'd rather sit like a couch potato. I want it salt in my bread. I want it. You know what the Lord was saying? He said, ain't nothing you're going to do taste worth having in your life if you don't get out and start doing something. You know why some of your Christianity is just bland and empty? It's because you don't work hard enough to put any salt in it. Paul, feel the Holy Ghost to preach right here. Job said, he said, can that which is unsavory be eaten? Are there any taste in the white of an egg? Come on now. Come on now. I've seen people say, I'll have two fried eggs, but hold the yolk. They don't want the yolk in their egg. I've watched them without salt, without pepper, without anything. Just cut into that old white egg. I tried it one time. It just ain't no taste in it. That's what I'm feeling like asking. That's what I'm feeling like asking right here. How come you feel so defeated and cast down and destroyed? I want to tell you what the problem is. Come on out here. Help me out here. You know what the problem is? Step out here. Wrap yourself up in this. I mean, be sure you keep your arms. Hold on. We're going to get free here. I put it around your arms. Comical, I know. That's good. Hey, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Reach your hand out to somebody else. Help somebody. They really need help. Can you lend a helping hand here? Huh? Hey, how about helping us pray with somebody in the altar? You think you can lay your hand over there on them and pray with them and ask God to help them? Oh no. Taller than that. Halt! I read this prayer. I liked it so well. It was prayed in 1800 and something. I read it. He said the calling of God was such an effectual call. No net can entangle those who will answer Jesus' call. For to follow Him is to leave all. They came straightway. They came at all costs. They came without question. They came to quiet old haunts. They came to follow their leader without stipulation or any reserve. They came to give their all. And then he wrote, he said, Lord, cause me ever to be thy faithful and unhesitating servant, to follow you as long as I live. And may no net detain me when thou callest me. If a man, a preacher, in 1890-something could pray that, 100 years, 110 years later, how much the more? Listen to me. When it was horses and buggies, it wasn't fancy cars and homes. It wasn't electricity and air conditioning. It wasn't fancy jobs, $30 and $40 an hour. It was just bread to bread, prayer to prayer, faith to faith, trust to trust. Come on now. We didn't have something on every corner to preoccupy us. I know some of you are going to leave me. It's quite all right. A little more holiness than you wanted, ain't it? They want a Walt Disney. They want a Six Flags. They want a DVD. You claim to be saved and have movies? Huh? Why don't you go and buy your kid a ticket down there to the movie house? Because in the eyes of God, it's the same thing. I felt you throw that at me. But you ain't got no fly-by-night preacher here. I'm not afraid to tell you, you're just a hypocrite. You're caught. You know what we'll do? It's when our boy goes so wild and he's so captivated in lust. We'll go to him and you notice how we're able to tell him, why don't you talk after me, okay? Y'all shouldn't be doing that. Y'all stay out of that world.
Stay out of that world.
Reach out to them. You know what they do? He's telling me to stay out of it. He'll work 70 hours a week and won't even go to midweek prayer meeting. He's telling me to stay out of it. Oh, she's got just a little old bump on her head and she stays out of church. And they're telling me to stay out of it. You know the reason I'm laughing like this? Because I got a scripture rolling over in my mind. Lot left Abraham. He moved toward that city. He had enough of God still inside of him that he wouldn't just go into that city. But he lived too long at the gate. He found a residence inside the city. Come on now, you ain't listening to me, are you? Huh? I wish I could hold your attention. Because you sure need to hear me. You won't listen to nobody else, but you sure need to hear me. That's why your children's rebellious, because you don't listen. You hear me? And the Bible said, I know it's tight. I'd love to preach something, make everybody in this building shout. But you know what the Bible said? Can I hold that right there? I'm going to go with you a lot. I want you to run over there, pretend that Wendell and Russell's your son-in-laws, and go tell them judgment's coming, and get out of the city.
Get out of the city. There's going to be fire coming, and it's going to destroy you all. You need to run to the hills where your help's going to come from. Y'all need to find security in the hills. Hold my hand and follow me. Come on, follow me. Don't look back. Y'all need to come follow me.
You Bible, do I got any Bible readers in here? And the Bible said they mocked him. And then what the book said, and they mocked him. You know why nobody listens to when you're saved? Because they see you so high on pills. They see you so high in worldliness. They see you so wrapped up in sin. And when you go to telling them, hey, I'm out of it. I'm free. And you can't answer the phone without your tongue being so thick, lost out of your mind. What are you trying to say? I'm telling you, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep for knowing that it's past time. We must have an awakening. We must escape the bondage of the net.
Why don't you stand with me all over this house?
What are you going to do? Are you listening to me? I didn't come to here just to pick a topic to preach. I come here because 20 years ago, the Lord told me to come.
And I'll be flat honest here. There's a lot of times I wanted to leave. But the last thing I heard him say was stay. And he ain't said nothing else, so I can't do nothing. But I am telling you right now in Jesus' name. The only way, listen to me boys. The only way that I've kept our teenage girls until married women. We've lost a few. We've lost a few boys. But you know why we're keeping most of them? It's because I'm preaching enough to keep you out of the net. Sister Tina, if you don't stay out of it, you forget about Madison staying out of it. Because you see, that net just has a bonding power to it. Whatever catches you, catches your baby. Listen to me, Jason. Jessica, where you at? She ain't in here. When I took y'all aside the other night, and I told you I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me, you know what that mission was? Stay out of the net. Stay out of the net for why? For His sake. I wish Tammy was here. Come here, Jalen. I know some of y'all ain't going to like what I'm about to say. And they say, well, what's the baby to do? Stay out of the net. Mama stays away from the net. He'll stay away from it. You get wrapped up in it, he's going to get wrapped up in it. And then before you know it, I know I'm preaching way too long for you. The pattern which you have chosen. The skip and the miss. The stuttering of life. The mishaps will only become crutches that will keep us at a seaside while the ship of opportunity floats away from us. They get ready to sing. I've seen men. I have seen it. And I'm going to say it because I feel the Holy Ghost in my soul. And you can tell everybody I said it. I ain't a beat around to the bush type preacher. I've never been for almost 30 years. So, I mean, don't even try to even ask me to go that way. But you hear me in this building. I've seen men who the gift of healing was caught in their life. They desired it. They wanted it. But because of the net, that ship floated away. It came. You felt it as strong as you felt life. It came, but it... What you're seeing now, preacher, I'm seeing a trail out in the middle of the ocean. And there's a ship that I point at through my prayer life. Oh, God. I wish I wouldn't have lost that opportunity. I'm talking to somebody. I know where I'm standing, and some of you don't want to hear the preacher today. I'm telling you, we're perplexed with men and women standing in the house of God. Staring at ships that's left port because you would not get on it when the Lord said, get on it. And when I look over there and I see a man who's got a blood clot, are you listening to me? In his jugular vein, talking out of his head with no medication, just doing it. Coming and going. Doctor asked him last night in the ER. I believe Dr. Robinson was his name.
He said, what are you taking this medicine here for? He said, I'm taking it for Jesus. And then he caught what he's saying. He said, oh God, help me, Jesus. He feels it slipping away from him. He told me, he said, I'm at a place now where I can't do nothing. I can't stop what's happening. I know I've got your time, but it ain't near the amount of the loafing time you're going to have this afternoon. And I'm preaching because I'm concerned. I'm concerned, Silas. Come here. I'm concerned. Come here. I'm concerned. Come here. Go stand behind us. They don't know what some nets are. Why introduce them to it? Huh? Why? Why? You ever battle slothfulness? Get out of it! Don't let them see it! Ever battle bitterness and hatred against a preacher? You have! You don't like me this morning! Get out of it for your children's sake! You say, I want somebody to preach to me. No, what you don't want. See, it's fun. I know I got your time, and I don't mean to. Where's the end of it at? Right here. It's fun getting caught up. But it's the letting loose. Can we let loose of it some kind of way? Boy, this thing's bad at grabbing buttons, ain't it? Just turn with it. It's that merry-go-round of God on the potter's wheel. Say, get free of it. It was fun getting tangled up in it. It was fun getting wrapped up in that world. How many times have I heard you say it, Brother Stanley? I've tried the house buying. I've tried the land buying. It's fun getting on the merry-go-round, but it's aggravating getting off it. I wish I had a church that was on the same page I am this morning. I said, it's fine getting on that merry-go-round, but it's rough falling off it. Oh, the pleasures of sin are but for a season. That's all they are. That's all they are. Young girl, sell your purity to some retarded boy out there that ain't no more interested in God, church, or anything else. But when that merry-go-round spins you off it, you'll declare the ride ain't worth it. The crowd of it ain't worth it. Escape it and get out of it. Get away from it. I got so much. I told you on the OnStar to preaching. I have so much on me that I want to say. And I'll be honest with you, physically, right now I feel like I've slept for 2 days. I feel that much of the help of the Lord. But you listen to me. I'm telling you in Jesus' name. Find you a straight way. Find you an immediately. On that thing that's holding you, get ready, baby. I know I done told you that. But listen to me. That thing that's holding you, you hear me? Look at me. It may be your husband. Oh, Aunt Dolly, your grandma, everybody that ever saw her, all they knew about Aunt Dolly was she's just the happiest little woman that ever lived. I'll never forget last time I was in church with her over in that old building many years ago. She'd been real sick. She came in that morning with that little roll around her head and them old glasses on. She walked in and first thing she done, we was in Sunday school, she slapped my jaws. I met her in the center aisle for a slap. She smacked my jaws, put her arm in my arm, and we turned around in the middle of the center aisle of the building. And she said, boy, she said, when we get to heaven, she said, you talking about a dancing time. That's the last time I was in church with her. Somebody asked Aunt Dolly one day, said, what made you so happy? How'd you find that peace and that joy? Huh? She said it was easy. She said, I wrestled all the time in sadness and loneliness. She said, but when I gave up my husband, and I gave up my children, and she said, I put them all in his hands. She stayed married. She kept all of her children, raised every one of them. But she said, I put them all in his care. And she said, when I gave them over to him, he gave me happiness. Y'all try it sometime. Y'all try it sometime. Put them all in his hands. He's big enough to carry them. As she gets ready to sing, and I could talk on and feel the Holy Ghost right here. It's hard to take a shouting man and tie him up in a net. It's hard. Huh? Raise them hands. And every time I pull them down, raise them up. It's hard to tie up a man's praise. The devil ain't got time fast enough to grab a net and pull you. Why are you worshiping, preacher? I don't want to get caught up in the net. Why are you saying amen? I don't want to get caught up in that net. I want to escape the entangling of it. The Word of God said that no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. And I want to ask a question in this building without any reservations. I want to say this very honestly. Do I have anybody on the building of this altar service will be up straightway and immediately? You can hear the call for the past hour and 5 minutes of preaching. Are we going to stand there and debate it? Or are we going to straightway drop our nets and immediately step out and say, Lord, here I am.